You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Welcome to the Cooligans. I am Christian Polanco. First segment, we talk about EPL. We talk about Everton. It gets exciting. We rant. We get angry. We get upset. And we have a new song from Mesut Ozil.
In segment number two, where I'm making fun of Jordan Morris's decision to stay at home because he needs his little baby blankie and he's such a soft. How soft is he? Would you say he's soft as a pillow or would you say he's as soft as a fresh-made blanket? I don't know. Is he Charmin soft? We'll find out in the second segment.
Segment number three, we're going to be talking about Spain and how much friggin' corruption there is over there with Real Madrid and Atletico now having transfer bans. Barcelona's Javier Mascherano going to court. Neymar in court, and then Aaron Ramsey killing people.
Yeah.
mass murderer Aaron Ramsey.
That's exactly what we're talking about on this episode of the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Kyrie Shelton from New York City FC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Hi, I'm RJ Allen for New York City Football Club, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
This is Ian Joy, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Cooligans, we're here.
We are here.
Yeah, can't open and say we're not. Because we are here. And once again, we are full of energy. Happy to be here. Guys, we are probably more excited than anyone who's watching the EPL this weekend. Kind of boring for an Arsenal fan. A 0-0 at Stoke. Probably the only exciting thing is Mesut Ozil's got a song, baby.
That's it. I wanna hear this song.
We got a song. Kirby, you want to sing it with me?
All right.
I don't know if you guys can hear this. We'll play it in the background. Come on. We got Ozil. What? Mesut Ozil. I just don't think you'd understand. He's Arsene Wenger's man. He's better than Zidane. We got Mesut Ozil. Come on, that's a great song.
We got Timmy.
We got Lukaku for not very long. I don't understand.
I want to buy his jersey, but I'm really like worried that he's going to leave. And it's just really, I'm in a difficult
place.
And then
I'll have an achy breaky heart, which is the theme of this, which is the base of this whole chant. I don't care that it's a country song, okay? I don't know if it's sure. You know what he says? I just don't think you'd understand that. That brings me right to Achy Breaky Heart.
Yeah, I mean, but it was a hit. It was a big song.
I wouldn't say it was hip. I would say
no.
It was popular.
I didn't say it was hip. I said it was a hit.
Oh, it was a hit. It was very much.
I mean,
a
it
hit.
Took the nation by storm.
Yes, and here's the thing. I think the Mesut Ozil song will as well. They sang it for him at the Stoke match. One weird thing was he wasn't on the pitch. He was injured. So I mean, it's kind of a way to say, hey. We have a song for you. We want to sing it, so we're going to sing it.
It's much creepier when they're not there, though.
It's a little weird. It's a little weird. And I will say, very excited. You know, it only took so long. What is it, a season? You know?
Yeah, that's right. Two seasons.
Well, a season and a half, no?
Yeah, we're...
Two full season? Two and a half. Jeez, I'm skipping a season here. That's right. This is his... Wow, all right. So 2.5 seasons.
This is his third season or second season?
Technically second full season.
Okay. Oh, he came in the January window from...
No. Summer 2 years ago.
He was a summer signing.
So last year we wore that shirt.
Yeah.
So 2013.
So this is... He came in the last Nike season.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So then this is the second Puma season.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. That makes sense. Anyway, look, I'm just happy to have him. I feel like he's been here the entire time I've been a fan, and just happy to have his extremely lackadaisical ways. Now, as far as an Arsenal fan, I couldn't be happier. We're top of the league. Look, I get upset when we don't win. I was very, very upset about the Southampton loss, but I will say, look, top of the league. I don't care if we keep drawing our way through and all we do is win on goal differential. I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah, that's fine.
As long as we get a parade, I'm happy. So I don't care. That's all I want is a parade. All
would
right?
you would you go?
I've thought about it, but they literally do it like the day after.
Okay.
Or like, yeah, most it's like
yeah,
2 days later.
It's difficult to schedule something.
Yeah,
it'd be
like a very quick turnaround. I'd have to go hoping and believing that we somehow...
But there's so many teams in London, you would think that the parade route would like cross every other team stadium.
They like drive past Crystal Palace fans. They drive past Chelsea fans. Then they're really singing, I just don't think you'd understand, because we won the league.
You don't know what that's like.
Yeah, you'll never know what that's like. You'll never know what that's like. This is Arsene Wenger's van, because they're on top of the van. Thank you, Kirby. So for an Arsenal fan, I couldn't be more excited. You, as an Everton fan, bit of a different experience this weekend.
Very much so. Mainly because...
And I hope you're not tired of talking about it.
No, I'm not tired. There's the stark difference between the two sort of clubs is like, yeah, you get to experience like consistent success.
Right.
You know, we don't really get that. We just get a lot of... We get a lot of... bipolar sort of just moods, you know.
Yeah,
Everton really puts you in every sort of mood you can. You know, a lot of
highs and lows is what you're saying.
Great goals, it's like
roller coaster.
Late goal, exciting moments,
but unfortunately, not the latest goal.
It's really important to be the last one to score.
Yeah, at least the last one to go ahead. I think seems to be the important one. Or when you go ahead, don't let anyone else score.
Yeah,
that seems to be an important one.
Usually key. But no, so Everton is given. They've given me everything. They've given me the ability to feel emotions I didn't know I was capable of feeling.
Right.
Also, you know, I grew up very strict sort of Catholic family. We don't really express. We don't express ourselves.
No.
They don't really. That's not a thing.
How could you?
Yeah, it's not allowed.
Yeah.
It's not allowed. So they've given me the opportunity to feel, you know, furious anger that I usually sort of, you know, keep to myself. I feel like that's not a thing you show.
Yeah. In this case, you are physically showing it.
But there's a lot of, there's anger, but there's also that, like, just feeling defeated.
Yeah.
In that, like, this could have been better. So it's just, that's the one I hate the most. I hate, Everton has had 11, I believe 11 draws already this season. But they've had, in 11 matches, they've been leading. So they've given up, they've dropped points.
Right.
From leading positions.
And which is worse off, because in your head, you're counting all 3 points. You know, and then all
very
those,
much so.
And the one thing I hate more than anything is some of these websites have like live tables.
Okay.
So you can look at it. So if you're up 3-2, it counts you as having 3 points, and it shows the other team having lost. So here's what the table would look like if you look.
How mean is that?
I mean, why that is the most.
Who runs this website?
It is
emotions and feelings.
It hurts my soul, as you know, especially the last few years. You pull that up if that's the first one you pull up, when you're just looking and be like, oh, that, I wonder what. Wait, what was this team again? And you look it up and you're like, wait a minute. Are we in first place? No, we're not. Because we're going to lose.
just click refresh.
Please don't. You know, you know what I do? I screen cap it and I make it my background and I just hold on to that image.
Yeah. This is my world now.
Yeah, this is
it's
the
never going to change.
Parallel universe. Somewhere else in this world.
So Chelsea,
Arsenal is winning.
Chelsea played Everton and...
and it's Chelsea of the season. Can't be that hard. Can't be that difficult.
Chelsea is a team... in complete disarray.
They're all over the place.
Nobody knows what's going on with them. You know, they're in a relegation battle.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, they're just outside of the relegation battle, but they're not. They're way closer to that than they are at the top 10.
Everything could have put them there.
Yeah, they could have.
They could have easily done that.
Yeah.
But they you know, they gave up the opportunity.
Yeah.
Look, it was a great match. I think Everton was dominant the first half. And it was good to see. They played well. They didn't make any mistakes. Timmy Howard was confident. He looked good.
He did look good. One big mistake, but he looked good.
So first half, I'm like, you know, it's generally, you know, a little dull, but Everton played well. Second half, the match
opens up.
Begins. And
it's almost as if the refs got a phone call from the league and was like, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't make Chelsea look so bad.
We need... Look, the ratings are a little low.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
We need to bring up second half ratings. so they put the call in.
Remember, we're getting big TV money next year. Come on, guys.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't make me look bad.
Come on. Don't make me be the...
I'm trying to talk to Nike. I'm trying to talk to Adidas.
Don't make a fuck out of me. That's one of my favorite statements. Sorry, go ahead.
So the second half begins, and oh my goodness. John Terry, own goal.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Great start.
And here we go, you're thinking as an Everton fan.
Exciting. You know, they put the first goal up. It's great. The second goal by Kevin Morales. I mean, just the wonder strike. You know, the cross by Baines. And then that turn to the pass Courtois, bottom right of the net. Beautiful.
Here we go.
Beautiful to see. And then... I even tweeted. So I tweeted right after that second goal because, look, being an Everton fan and seeing them up 2-0 is just not a thing I'm used to.
Yeah.
I have not been following the team closely very long.
You know
long.
What's difficult as an Everton fan is that, you know, most teams that are as topsy-turvy as Everton have been, you sort of hold your breath to see what team is going to show up today, right? Mm-hmm. Which version of this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, in your case, there's like multiple personalities, who's going to show up? For your In your situation, it's who's going to show up even at halftime. You know, it's like,
yeah.
You can't even if you played well in the first half, you're like, well, we could still really ruin this on the way out of the tunnel. And there's a real chance that that's possible.
And, I mean, it's possible because it's happened.
Yeah,
because
it continues to happen. Which is why, what did you tweet? Also, I saw this. It was hilarious.
I tweeted a picture of a Britney Spears being like
very cynical, right?
Being very cynical and skeptical. She's like sort of rolling her eyes, and I just wrote, what's going on here? Like, when is this game going to become a 7-7 draw?
Yeah.
You know? And
as if you willed it.
this result is, I accept full responsibility.
Yeah, this is 100% your fault. You know what's funny? It's like, my wife is one of those people that's like, if you put it in the universe, you know, don't put negativity in the universe because it will come back to you.
And that's totally how she sounds.
Yeah,
also.
That's 100% how she sounds. As an Italian chick from Jersey.
Yeah.
She sounds very, very, she's like, don't you dare put that into the universe. All right, you're ruining my red sauce.
That's more like
that's
it,
a little bit more. God damn it! But take your foot off the couch. Don't you put your foot on the couch or that negativity into the universe? Because I'll cut you. But what you are, you make everything that's happened to you as an Everton fan makes me believe that the book The Secret is real. You know what I mean? Like you're like if you wish it into reality, maybe that's true.
The book The Secret was written by an Everton supporter. Yeah.
It used to be called Could This Be the Secret?
It was even after I put out that tweet, there was a guy I want to find because I want to just mention his name, but as soon as I tweeted it, he was like, you called it, bro. Like, I was like, well, I didn't want to call it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this isn't how I want to be remembered.
Everything's sort of falling apart at the moment.
Yeah. I'm reading this from a broken screen on my laptop because I threw my laptop.
So the first goal of Diego Costa, long pass.
Timmy Howard nowhere to be found.
Timmy Howard just went for it outside of the box.
The cool thing is if you watch the highlight, when they do the zoom in of what's happening, you just see Timmy Howard slide by looking at it like it was a sketch. You know, like he just slides by like, hey, girl, as he slides by the camera view.
Yeah, I think Timmy Howard was sliding to somebody's DMs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He was sliding into DMs. He was in. He was him and Yo Gotti. They know it goes down in the DM.
So, look, Diego Costa, he earned that goal. A strong dude. He got past Jagielka. Jagielka sort of lost the ball and really couldn't keep
you can
up.
Hear, you can hear Timmy Howard go, snatch at me that goal. If it's cool.
So, fine, that goal. And then
you can't look. You can't. There's nothing. No one could have done anything differently.
Well, Tim could have done. Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, no. Everybody but Timmy Howard could have done everything.
Although Jagielka, come on, you know Diego Costa is going to knock you. You know he's going to shoulder shove you down. It's exactly what happened. Shoulder bumped him out of the way. If you're Jagielka, that's it. That's your. Where was Stones in that? By the way, where was Stones in that moment?
I don't know. I think he was
got taken out by Tim Howard.
He got picked up by Chelsea. He got bought, right?
Yeah, he got bought already. he was in the locker switching shirts.
He was ready to come in the second half for Chelsea. Yeah.
Just filing his nails on the sideline.
No, what are you gonna do? Jagielka, he's the captain of the team, plays center back.
That's a goal that could have gotten anyone.
Exactly.
Long ball, right? No one's playing long ball anymore.
So what? Earn that goal. Good for you, Diego.
Yeah.
And then the second goal from Fabregas, a deflection off of, Jaggy again.
Yeah.
Does anybody call him that? I have no idea. Yeah. So, again.
They do now.
Not much you can do about that.
Nothing.
So, the third goal from Everton, in the 89th, 90th minute, basically, cross from Funes Mori. From De La Feo to Funes Mori.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Lukaku. Somebody was going to. Chelsea just sort of gave up on defense at that point. Yeah. I'm like, oh.
And Thibaut Courtois saw it go over his head and he was like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen now. He was all excited to see what could possibly happen. He was like, oh, is someone going to. Oh, yeah, they are. Oh, yes. There's two people right here.
It's weird. They were so poorly. The back line for Chelsea was so poorly aligned. I mean, I think they all thought it was supposed to be offside, but it was a. It was a pretty long pass.
Yeah, it went way over opposite post, which is what you want.
And all you know, three people in the back line were like, "All right, like I mean, motion. You just see a Chelsea back line and like all the Everton players just flood.
Yeah,
and like yeah. It looked like they stopped playing. Yeah. Really,
it reminded me of I remember when NBA Live first came out.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I played as the Knicks, and I had John Starks, and my other friend also played as the Knicks. It was down to the last overtime. John Starks steals the ball. He's going. I don't know if you remember the old video games. The cameras would just shift for you as you crossed the half point line. It would just like shift to the other half, like it didn't follow you like a TV camera would.
Yeah, yeah.
So I am at the bottom right corner of the screen. No one. Is in front of me. I'm down to the last second, so I have to pop a three. And then out of the corner comes all five of the opposite team Knicks with their hands up, and they block the three-point shot out of nowhere. That's what kind of reminded me immediately. I mean, to this day, like I can't play that old school game like on ROMs or anything without remembering that tragic moment. That's kind of what it looked like. Out of nowhere, here comes two white shirts because Everton was wearing one of the most beautiful kits in the league right now.
They do look good.
White with the sort of ghost gray stripes on the arms or hoops. As they call them. And I mean, these two guys are going, anyone would have scored, Lukaku or Funes Mori. Funes Mori decides to go for some Mr. Miyagi.
It's just a very high kick.
Very high backwards karate kick. A real Zlatan Ibrahimovic moment.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a real Ibra type of kick. Something you don't need to do. He could have bumped it with his belly.
Yeah.
He could have headed it in without jumping so high. But he kind of gives like a back heel.
Yeah.
Kick.
Off the outside of the foot. Like, I think there's certain heights that the ball can come. At
yeah, where it's awkward,
where you don't like you don't know what sort of body part to sort of use.
Where only
like,
your hand is perfect to hit, but obviously you can't use that.
Correct.
But nonetheless, I mean,
unless you're Rudy Gusted,
in which case, feel free to dribble that way.
How many handles? Yeah, there were so many handles that game. It was absurd.
Check our Instagram for the video of that.
Beautiful score. Such an exciting moment. 90th minute.
All of this emotion comes out of
this
it.
This is our match. I jumped up out of
what
my seat.
What could possibly go wrong
what
now?
What could possibly go wrong? I was so happy. I was like, oh, they just got to hold on. And I was like, so I was just nervous. I'm like, oh, these extra time with, especially when they're up 1-0. Oh, just up by one. It's like, come on, guys. Just don't, I don't want it to be so deflating. Just hold on. So, 7 minutes go by in the extra time, and I'm like, all right, let's...
Here comes the whistle.
The whistle's coming any second.
Can't wait. And then we're done.
You know? And the ref is just not blowing the whistle.
Yeah.
It gets to the 98th minute, and
You're experiencing Fergie time for the first time.
So this is
what Sir Alex Ferguson's Manchester United used to get this every match. If they were down by one, or if they were drawing and they needed a win, all of a sudden there would be a lot of extra time. 7 minutes seems like a lot already. It's even going beyond 7 minutes.
That's why was he? I'm glad he's gone.
Frustrating. We called it Fergie time. So for you, this is goose time.
Goose time.
Goose hitting.
Yeah.
Goose time.
I get a goose weird time. Thing in the back of my throat.
Goosing might be getting something weird elsewhere if it's the other way around. For those of you not thinking of Top Gun.
So 98th minute. There's a long pass into the box. It's bouncing around, heads off of Oscar to Terry, back heel, and then the game is drawn. Yeah.
John Terry, who scored on his own end, similarly scores
the
2 minutes after the extra time should have been over.
It was clearly offside.
Yeah, whole body except for maybe an ankle.
He was offside.
Yeah.
So it's
100%.
It's very, very visible. I think
take a slow-mo.
The only thing the ref may have seen was that, like, the first pass into the box was he was not offside, but Oscar did hit it. He did head it.
Yeah, but the ball changed projection. Like, it changed the way it was going. I mean, there's nothing you can say. Look, I mean, I've seen these guys call offsides for an elbow, for a pinky.
Oh, just a whisker.
For a hair. Yeah, oh, yeah. His mustache was over.
His man bun was over.
Yeah, you can't allow that. You know, in Giroud's case, like, you know, the glare of the beauty of his eyes, the glare coming off of his eyes was off.
It was offsides.
It was offsides. I mean, you know, the aura around him is offside. You know, I've seen these guys call it for something so much more. This dude's entire body. And this is, I've seen, like, where, you know, they have to play, like, they have to replay it in slow motion just for me to see the offsides. That's how good these guys are.
You need a 4K camera. Just, yeah,
exactly.
3D.
It's like that weird NCSI camera where they're like, well, you know, zoom in again. All right.
Exactly.
Now clear that up as if it's HD.
On a molecular level, he was offside.
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, we're all part of the same thing. Okay? We're all just atoms. So you consider that. Technically, we're all offside. That should have been whistled. I mean, you've seen it at this point where it's like barely offside and they call it and you're like, wow, I don't know how they saw that.
Yeah.
In this situation, it's like, I don't know how they didn't see that. It seems like it was on purpose.
I mean, I don't want to be a conspiracy guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that dude wearing, you know, while I'm watching Everton matches, I have a foil cap.
You gonna need it. You gonna need it.
Because it's exhausting.
Yeah.
But this was frustrating because, look, the goal is offside, but on any given day, a ref can make that error. I can accept that, and that can go either way throughout the season, you know. But the fact that the goal happened almost 2 minutes after the amount of extra time that was added to the match is inexcusable.
Yeah, it's got to be tough.
It's more than that.
Yeah.
I was watching the game and I'm on a futon. I'm getting couch.
Right.
Don't worry about
it. By the way, futon already makes the story sadder. So I'm on a futon and it's like, Dito. Watching Everton losing the last.
Yeah, when you're watching Everton match, you're not allowed to be comfortable.
No.
It is.
You've given yourself the proper feeling of the fans there. No one can say you're plastic because you put yourself in as uncomfortable as a
situation. Goodison Park is all made of futons.
Yeah, it's 100% futon. Very dangerous in the cold. You can't lay down. You can't sit in a Goodison Park.
It's bad. The fact that the goal happened so late when the match should have been over is I don't get it. I don't know when is the match supposed to be over? You know, now I feel like an American MLS fan who was first introduced and it's like, oh, I want countdown clocks. And
I
want a shot clock.
Yeah.
I don't get any.
Yeah. I want pauses. People should be able.
I want 4,000 commercials. Yeah.
I want timeouts. I want the whole nine.
Because this is ridiculous.
Well, listen, I mean, this has been tough. I mean, look, fun weekend. If you guys are hearing that noise in the background, they're doing some type of construction. It's not an elephant with gas. It's a very odd sound. There's nothing we can do. This building apparently is falling apart. But anyway, hopefully that's not too big of a distraction. If you don't hear it, then don't worry about it. It doesn't exist. But look, as an Everton fan, you've had a very tough weekend. But you still drew, okay? It's not like you're, you know, Champions League material just yet. Maybe with the additional TV money, you will be. But as an Arsenal fan, I'm happy. I couldn't be happier. All right. Elneny, he's in. We got a defensive midfielder. They've been complaining from day one. Ozil's coming back. Alexis is coming back. Santi looks like he's coming back soon. Coughlin, right? In 2 weeks, they're talking about Coughlin coming back. That's the premier. Huh?
Welbeck.
Oh, my God. Welbeck is back to full training. That guy's been injured since, I don't know what, 2003, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, it's been a while. He was born, and then he's made out of glass. I don't know if you know that.
He was born with a torn ACL.
Yeah. He was born. He came out rolling and holding onto his knee.
rolling over. He's like, what's going on, ref?
Come on, doctor.
What's going on?
Give her a red. Or show her a red. Anyway, listen, as an Arsenal fan, that's five winter signings, five January signings, as far as I'm concerned. I couldn't be happier, all right, as an Arsenal fan. You, obviously, as an Everton fan, We're going to have to get you a pillow to punch on this futon. Okay.
I can't punch the futon because I will break my hand.
You will. You break the futon. I mean, that thing's not built for punching. Yeah. No. Come on. You got this disgusting futon. It's so uncomfortable. Please get rid of it. Anyway, we've got a lot more coming up. In fact, right now for our break, we've got this awesome dude. He's a Colorado Rapids fan. Yeah, that's right. We found one. He goes by Rapids Rabbi on Twitter. Check him out at Rapids Rabbi, R-A-P-I-D-S. R-A-B-B-I. He also was a contributor to burgundywaves.com, which is Rapids Rabbi. Just a Colorado Rapids fan site that he runs and he contributes to. Check it out. I mean, God knows what they're talking about. They had a terrible season last season, but he gave us a nice break. He's going to update us on what's going on and how he feels as a fan. This is all about the Colorado Rapids.
The Rapids are trying to go for a big signing, trying to get Tim Howard.
They're trying to get Timmy Howard.
I don't want him there.
Yeah, he doesn't need a plane. He's just going to slide right in. Slide right into Colorado. He started already last week.
Is he going to ski right over there?
Just slide in like it's DMs. All right. Anyway, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about MLS. Hopefully, you guys had fun in this first segment. Come right
back.
The
Super Draft!
The Rapids, for lack of a better term, were crap in 2015. They're going to be crap in 2016, too. Playing a conservative 4-2-3-1 and struggling to build from the back, get the ball into dangerous spots, or play any semblance of creative soccer, the Rapids generally play to tie, or maybe nick a goal from a set piece and hang on for dear life. It didn't work in 2015, and under coach Pablo Mastroeni, most Rapids fans don't expect much to change, even if the team grabs a fancy pants DP like Carlos Vela over the break.
We're talking MLS, baby.
Super draft, super draft.
Super draft. Anyway, that's hashtag super draft.
A lot of A's in there.
Look, as a NYCFC fans, the two of us, could you be more excited than what happened? To give everyone sort of a background, Manchester United youth product, who ended up going to Wake Forest by the name of Jack Harrison, amazing attacking midfielder, because that's what we need, is more midfielders on this club. He had played for Manhattan downtown, I believe, Manhattan Soccer Club.
Yeah.
Something like that. So he played there for a year. So technically, because now they're affiliate of NYCFC, they try to put in a homegrown claim for him. Did not work. And, I think it was once a Metro, which is Red Bull's fan site, put up this whole thing that, like, finally the league has advanced to the point where they're not letting anyone with money just bend the rules. It was a whole, but my cereal, it was one of those. But anyway, nonetheless, they said no to us, but NYCFC really wanted this player, and everyone thought he was going to go first in the draft. Really, really talented, tons of technical skill, young, really good player in college. So they decided to trade up for him. So when you sign someone homegrown, they don't come off your cap. They can't do that anymore. So technically, he will come off the. I don't know if he signed a Generation Adidas. Kirby, would you mind looking that up? He did sign a Generation. I believe Generation Adidas don't count completely against your cap. So that's still a positive. But we had to give away a draft pick for him, and we had to give away a player to be named later, which turns out to have been. I think it was just the player we picked in the draft, which I can't remember who we picked. I think it was Vincent.
We traded our pick,
but what we did was we traded the player we picked for Jack Harrison. So we didn't necessarily trade picks. We traded the players each. So we said to the Chicago Fire, who do you want? And they said, yeah, give us, I believe his name was Vincent, something Vincent. Brandon Vincent, something like that. And they were like, yeah, all right, give us him. You pick him, and we'll give you Jack Harrison. Perfect. Worked out. Boom. Mm-hmm. We got him in-house. Awesome, right? The ladies are going to love him. He's got that British accent, right? Amazing skill. His reel, his highlight reel is incredible. Tons and tons of talent. This guy's going to be perfect in our midfield. So that was exciting.
Well, the only thing I thought, so I watched the whole thing, and it was the first round of the Super Draft, and I was sort of trying to understand sort of how to work, because there were a lot of trades, there were a lot of things going on. I didn't know when they picked when NYCFC came up for their pick, they mentioned they don't reveal everything very quickly. So I guess there's some rule where until all parties are informed, they don't reveal what happened. Like NYCFC did the trade or whatever for a player to be named later, but they didn't reveal who it was. They didn't reveal who they got, who they got rid of.
Right, so everyone said there was a player to be named later, and everyone, for some reason, started to assume it was Mixed Iskarud.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing. So there was a moment for, I mean, it felt like maybe 10 minutes, where like, what happened to the pick?
Yeah.
Who, what, you know.
Two things happened. Someone said, and I believe it was someone, I think it was the guy who's who does MLS now. I can't remember his name. The guy who's on video, the bald dude with the beard. He said that he thought maybe it would be Mixed Iskarud.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone started to worry that it was Poku, including me. Yeah. I got super scared that it was Poku because for some reason we're so worried about losing Poku.
We really, I mean, he's a fan favorite. We really love him. Yeah,
we really do love him. And I, you know, David Villa, we tweeted it out for Soccer Cooligans at Soccer Cooligans. We tweeted out David Villa had beautiful things to say about him. A player like this is amazing, and you know,
the one criticism he had was like he needs to be sort of more fit.
Yeah,
and that. It just sounded like he's too fat. Like,
yeah.
Stop being so fat, dude.
Yeah.
That's really what it sounded like he was saying.
Put down the red, put down the jollof rice, pick up a salad.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, he looks in incredible condition. I mean, David Villa, of all people, doesn't look like that cut up. He doesn't look like Cristiano Ronaldo did on the cover of GQ.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you haven't checked out, please do. And Google that and Photoshop to see what Photoshopping they needed to do to all 438 abs this guy has. I don't know how he has that many abs, okay? When you draw a cartoon, if you draw that many abs, it's to be obnoxious. And that's what this guy's body naturally looks like. By the way, there was no Photoshop. Shopping done.
It was nice.
They changed the tone of his skin.
Yeah.
What are they? What? My God.
Dude. What are you gonna do?
Good looking dude. That guy is an Adonis.
Yeah, but but he's like one of the most like hardworking.
Yeah, I mean that guy hasn't eaten a carb in 10 years. But I will say this. I mean, they have a statue of him. Why is that statue wearing a shirt? Shirtless. That statue needs to be shirtless.
Yeah, yeah.
Molded right from his body. Those abs. Anyway, so I mean, look, you know, David Villa doesn't look like he's in incredible shape, but I mean, the guy's got stamina, wonderful engine. He's running around the whole time. It's one of those things that when you play with NYCFC and FIFA, like, he doesn't stop running. He doesn't get tired, which is awesome. And that's him in real life. Poku, I guess, a little different. And, you know, it kind of makes me think maybe Jason Christ wasn't lying when he said the reason he didn't start him was because, you know, stamina issues. He didn't feel like he could go a whole 90. So hopefully Poku is working on that in the offseason. But, yeah, I mean, you were saying about the draft?
So
these rumors started coming out. We weren't sure what was happening.
Yeah, I was very concerned, you know, because I own a Mixed Iskarud jersey, and I'm right. Like, this is going to be bad.
And as we learned in the last segment, what you put out in the air goes away. It happens or it goes away.
Exactly. So, yeah, it was sort of confusing, and there were a lot of trades happening, a lot of general allocation money being traded away, a lot of targeted allocation money being traded away. So it was one thing that confused me, especially with Jack Harrison and sort of his story, was I didn't expect to see that many British players play in American colleges.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big move right now. There's a lot of these companies that are like, I don't know how else to put them, but they kind of remind me of like legal, like human trading. Like there's one video now, like lower level teams like USL and NASL, they do this a lot.
Do these players get into sex trafficking?
I mean, kind of. You gotta make money somehow. With a body like that. Again, Cristiano Ronaldo with his shirt. I mean, I'm a straight man.
But he'd go for
much money.
You suffer a lot in the market.
Yeah. Come on. I mean, if you were on the market, you break the market, homie, just by crunching your abs. I mean, his belly button is closed. That's how much he's crunching his abs, guys. Look at the cover. Anyway, what they do is they set up these camps, kind of like a highlight camp. Like, they get players from around lower leagues or guys that have been kicked off youth groups for some reason, like youth clubs, youth development, and like managers or coaches or scouts will come out to watch, and like, you know, the like Tulsa's team and like, you know, the Wilmington Hammerheads. I can't imagine these guys are getting paid a lot, but they'll come out. A lot of them also pick to go to university in the U.S. as a way to maybe get into the American leagues, you get a free education for being a pretty good soccer player. Which, you know, in Britain, maybe you're not the best. Maybe you weren't able to break through the first team, or no one's thinking of you. You come to the U.S., all of a sudden you're the best player in the college ranks. Sure. So it works out really well for them. So, yeah, that happens a lot. To see if him having been, you know, Manchester United's youth and then all of a sudden playing for all these different affiliates here, that was a bit confusing for me.
Yeah, so, I didn't necessarily understand because I didn't know much about him. I didn't know why NYCFC sort of wanted him so badly. But then I saw some highlights and, yeah, I guess
he's incredible.
The only thing that concerns me is that we have 9,000 midfielders.
Yeah,
I mean, how is he going to play? Who is he? When is he going to play?
Matarita, which is the new player we got from Costa Rica, They say he's a defender who can play in the midfield. Enough. Stop.
There's so many.
Yeah. What are we going to do?
We need defense and, you know, and then like maybe another sort of confident striker. Maybe I don't even think that's necessary. We have Mullins. We have Villa. I think that's that
we need a hold up guy. We need someone who can turn their back again, like Giroud, someone who can turn their back to goal.
Yeah.
Set up our midfield, you know, lay it off to David Villa. David Villa could break down a defender and get in. I mean, we need someone like that because David Villa should not be a hold up guy. It was supposed to be Nemec. Remember Nemec? Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
If you think back far enough, all those beautiful non goals he scored. remember when he was the goal was completely open and he still shanked it? We were like, what is wrong with this guy? We were all like, come on, dude. It's sitting right there. I mean, no one's in front of there. Even the other goalkeepers are like, come on, yeah. Get one in.
He got to play what like 6-7 matches and they were like this is gonna work for
this
us.
Is really rough, but again, you know, Bundesliga 2, I mean, get out of here. Anyway, so you know, it's fun to have him. A lot of stuff happened at that point. Jordan Morris saga had not really started, so he had been offered, this is what all we heard at the point of the draft, yeah, is that he had been offered the largest homegrown player rookie contract of all time, which is $200,000 a year, which, look, doesn't sound like a lot of money for soccer players. Actually, it turns out, I did some research, turns out that's not a bad deal for starting contract. It's not a bad gig. And his dad is one of the trainers there. His dad is one of the physios.
That's right.
So, look, you're around your pops. Again, I think, don't be a bitch. You know, if you get a chance to go to Europe, go to Europe. I know, I can't remember the guys. I believe it was Herzog for the UN's men's national team who came out and said that they were looking to get as many of their players in Europe as possible, which upset all the MLS fans and owners. Fine. You know, Jurgen Klinsmann convinced him to go to Europe. He goes to Werder Bremen. The owner of Werder Bremen comes out and says he does some things that you very rarely see. It was kind of a confidence boost, but it wasn't anything special. And by the way, every photo of Jordan Morris, he looks upset. He looks like he's sad about something. Give this kid his blankie, okay? What is he so upset about? So look, I've been upset for the longest amount of time that he stayed in college for too long. He comes out 1 year. He's 21 years old. He should already be a pro, okay? You're on the men's national team. Now the manager of the men's national team convinces you to go to Europe. You go to Werder Bremen, and guess what? You look amazing. And they want to offer you a contract. We don't know what that money is. We don't know what it is. But you're in Europe. And this is they're in the Bundesliga. Look, they're fighting relegation, but they're in the Bundesliga. This isn't, you know, you're not going to the second division in Norway, okay? Mm-hmm. This is Germany. This is one of the big three leagues, okay? Four if you consider Ligue 1, you know, the French league further up. Fine. Top four, right? You're going to be in Werder Bremen. Great history. Yeah, they're fighting relegation, but this is a great chance for you to show all of Europe who you are. And he turns it down and decides to stay with Seattle Sounders. Seattle Sounders is probably going to... You're happy about this.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm glad he stayed, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? How is this a positive in any way, shape, or form?
Because it's cool to see young talent want to grow here, and it's good for the MLS. Obviously, it affects the men's national team.
That's more important than
negatively,
the MLS.
I mean, it's debatable. You can debate that it's going to affect them.
How could you debate that? I mean, where is that on the other side of the what is the other side of the argument? There is no other side.
Look, in Seattle, it'll be good for him.
Why? Because he's going to be coddled like he was in college.
He will be around Clint Dempsey. Men's national team star.
Which everyone has said from day one, he's not a mentor. He's not someone who wants other players to develop around him. He wants the number one. Obafemi Martins, what are you going to learn from a 48-year-old?
I think if I'm thinking about the positives about the MLS, I think I'm excited about it. So
what are the positives? He's not going to have the level of competition. He's not going to have, you know, the ability to fight for relegation. If he were to come in and help that team stay up, that's massive.
But it's already you're already accepting that MLS is, look, we get that it's a weaker league, but
yeah. And I mean, look, it's a tough league. We got more travel. There's a lot more involved, but the competition is stiffer there. And there's no way you could argue that.
But to have talent like that and sort of a young player like that and be the foundation of the MLS, if we have more top talent that wants to start here, that's a good thing for the MLS.
And this is where you're wrong. We need more international stars to want to start here. We need the rest of the world to respect this league. Jordan Morris doing well here is not going to say anything to a kid in Brazil or a kid in England or a kid in France or a kid in Cote d'Ivoire. It's not going to say anything to them besides Jordan Morris was scared to be away from his family. That's all it's going to say to them. What we need is a kid from Brazil to say, you know what? I want to start my career in the MLS. That's where that comes. Jordan Morris right now and forever until he decides to leave the MLS will be the kid who was afraid he couldn't hack it. That's all he's going to be. That's all he's going to be from day one. And he's Landon Donovan. Landon Donovan was at Bayern Leverkusen, if I'm not mistaken, right? Bayern Leverkusen. And he couldn't hack it. And that's where all the beef with him and Jurgen Klinsmann started. And he decided to come back to MLS. He was amazing in MLS. There was no player better than him on any pitch in MLS ever at the time he was playing. And what did that do for him? Landon Donovan to this day is still the guy who couldn't make it in Europe. He's not that good. He couldn't make it in Europe. We needed one guy to break that apart. One guy. All we need is one world-class player. You're not going to do that not being in the Champions League. You're not going to do that being in the CONCACAF Champions League. You're not going to do that beating, the Houston Dynamo for the MLS Cup. That's not going to matter in the scope of the world. Yeah, that's going to matter in bringing more fans, bringing more eyes. Maybe it's better for, attendance or for, ratings. Maybe, but it does nothing for our stance. All what he has to do now is win a World Cup. That's what he has to do. And if he does that, I will shut up, obviously. I will shut up and I'll never say this again. But right now, your umbilical cord isn't cut. You being a baby. And you know what the problem is? And I'll say it now and I'll say it again. I'll say it a million times. It's the suburban kids that have too good of a fucking life. They don't have to struggle like the hood kids do. You find any of the kids that grew up in Newark with me and they say, yo, you get a chance to be in Germany in the top. You go and fight. You don't want to be home. You want to play for Newark United? Get out of here. You're going to go fight. You're going to go to Europe. You're going to go somewhere else to prove yourself at a top level because you have nothing but hunger and fight in you from day one. It's these kids that live too good of a life that got everything paid for. I hope I'm not offending you, Kirby. I don't know how you grew up. I'm not making eye contact with you. But it's these kids that didn't have to fight for anything. That's all of our soccer is made up of because for the longest time, it's been pay for play. These things are changing now. So you understand what I'm arguing about is, antiquated to some degree. But it's these kids that now all of a sudden are getting these opportunities. They're like, I want to be home. What do you mean you want to be home? No one in the world gets to make the decision. No one else in the world says, I want to be home. Maybe some kids in England. Maybe. Maybe some kids in Germany get to say that. Maybe. But everywhere else. I mean, Neymar was playing barefoot with balls of, with bottles of water shoved yarn inside of it as a soccer ball, barefoot on dirt. You think he was like, oh, I think I want to stay in Sao Paulo. Pele told him he had to stay one more year. And then, of course, you go to Barcelona. This is your job. Go be the greatest ever. Go get everyone in your neighborhood out of poverty by making billions of dollars. That's your job. Jordan Morris, a baby. Dog, you a baby. Go get your Linus blankie, right? Or whatever character that was that had the blankie. I remember, again, I didn't know English until I was about 10. I was good. All right. Thanks, Kirby. Go get your blankie and go suck your thumb in Seattle. And that's all you're going to do. And you know what? I don't care how many you score against NYCFC. I don't care how many you score against the whole league. And you know what? In 2 years from now, if you decide to get a better deal elsewhere, or if we find out some reason that there was a reason why you didn't want to go to Werder Bremen because of the deal, I will shut up and I'll apologize. But as of right now, you are a baby, dog. You a baby. And for everyone who's like, oh, you shouldn't talk about him because what would you? I did that. I got out of Newark. I moved to the city. I busted my ass in corporate America to get to high level. Sure, I left and now I'm a comedian who runs a couple podcasts. Fine, maybe I took a step back because I'm trying to follow what I really want to do for fulfillment, and that's on my end. But I did what it took to get to the top of a place where I was uncomfortable the whole way through, and I had to learn as I went along. So for everyone who's like, oh, what about your situation? I hope you hold yourself to the same degree. I do. I do, I did, and I always will. And people like that, those are the people that go on and do great things. I'm not saying Jordan won't, but as of right now, dog, you stayed in college too long, and everyone made fun of you and said you was a baby, and now here was your chance to do something big. Oh, and you want to stay home? Get your dad a job at Werder Bremen. Tell him you want your dad to come along as a physio. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll learn something new. I don't know what he does. Maybe he's a youth coach. I can't remember exactly what he does in Seattle. Whatever it is, you got to get away from your family. Be a man. You're 21 years old, dog. You know how many players are right now in Europe playing at 17 years old, 18 years old, away from their families? Gideon Zelalem, his family's in Virginia. He's over at Arsenal. Now he's playing in Scotland. How old is the kid? He's not even 20 years old yet, and he's doing that. Or maybe he just turned 20. I don't recall. Yeah, he's 19, I think. He just turned 19. He's a kid, and I want to stay in college. For what? For what? You stayed in college too long, and now you chose Seattle. You chose the safe path every way along. And I don't care if it comes out that you have a mental instability for that reason, or maybe there's a specific reason. I don't care. You're soft. You're soft. You're TCBY. You're soft and you're sweet. And we don't need that on the men's national team. And I know Jurgen Klinsmann said he's just happy you chose to be a professional. I don't care if he decides to never put you on the men's national team. Good for you. I want to rub the tips of my four fingers across the bottom of my chin and tell you to go somewhere because I don't care anymore. All right. Until you decide to be a goddamn man, I don't care.
Wow.
Sorry.
Don't apologize for that.
Yeah, I won't. I certainly won't.
I don't feel like that sorry was genuine.
No, that was. I'm sorry I took so much time on the podcast for that.
No, the one point that you made about like comparing him to Neymar, which is obviously
a bit of a stretch. Not,
you know, Neymar leaving Santos and going to Barcelona is very different from going to college to Werder Bremen. Okay, so the concept of like being in the Champions League and being around,
but he was supposed to go to Chelsea before that, and also still different.
Yes.
But, I mean, look, Werder Bremen for an American is Chelsea for Neymar. I'm sorry. You know, like, that's the German league. I mean, you have a manager that can help you get in there. I mean, that's a much higher level than MLS. And I love MLS. I don't want to disparage anything about MLS. But we know that's a higher level. We have to admit to ourselves. And maybe keeping players like Jordan Morris will make the MLS a higher level. I disagree to some degree because we're never going to get Champions League. That Champions League difference. And maybe Werder Bremen's not going to get you in there, but you could show up. You're 21 years old. You're already behind the ball. This was your chance and you missed it.
Okay.
What are you going to do? Move when you're 26?
You're not wrong.
Of course not.
You're not wrong.
I'm Alexis.
I think that's not where you're not wrong. You're not wrong, but I do think it's a good commitment to the MLS at where a young star can grow here and grow the popularity of the league, which is the business side of the league is obviously very, very important. You know, at this stage, it still is.
I still think that it means more to the league to develop. If we were to develop a world-class player, that means more. You're never going to be considered a world-class player playing in the MLS. You're just not. Not right now. Maybe that changes in 2 or 3 years. Right now, you're not. What will make you world-class is if Seattle Sounders had built a player that goes to Germany, ends up on Bayern Munich, wins a ton, or whoever. Maybe Werder Bremen wins the Bundesliga, wins the Champions League.
I don't know why you're putting the specific sort of pressure on Jordan Morris when there's plenty of American players playing in Germany. We have like a dozen.
Yeah, but they're not the one. They're not the one everyone's looking at that moment. They're not the ones making a decision between MLS. That's the decision. What do you do? Do you go home? Do you stay home, or do you go to Europe?
But I don't think
Pulisic. Pulisic is playing. He's now in the first team training at Borussia Dortmund. We should all be happy. Look, you know, we've got tons of players.
You have Yedlin in the Premier League.
Yeah, well, Tottenham. But I mean, he's with Sunderland this year. But yeah. Loan.
I think you're putting like this sort of Neo of the Matrix. Like he's the one that's going to change the entire country and
everyone's looking at him. He's the one the spotlight is on right now.
I don't
think he's the only one, and we have enough players in Europe that are doing that. Look, he was developed here. Right? Pulisic wasn't developed here. Mm-hmm. Right? Zhao wasn't developed here. Kaisvetter, huh?
Julian Green
wasn't developed here. Kiesewetter wasn't developed here. Kyrie Shelton was, and he played in the U23s. He didn't show up all that much, but he was there. Jetty and Zelalem was kind of developed here for a little bit, but then he went to Arsenal. He's always going to be considered an Arsenal homegrown player. We don't have a player that we've developed that goes on to the big league. Now that's going to be all the youth that wants to now all of a sudden play soccer. We've made our country softer, weaker. Because, and again, as a men's national team, not as like a political power, but like as for the men's national team is now weaker because he's not playing in Europe. And I truly believe that.
But the MLS is strong and Don Garber's happy. And that's all we
Don
care
Garber's
about.
Happy. And what does that mean? What does that mean? What, 18 more people are going to watch? Now we have 218,000 people watching.
Well, that's not 18.
Oh, you know what I meant. 18,000
people. That's 18,000. That's a lot.
That's not a lot. It's not a lot. It's still a 0.02 or whatever it is, a 0.2. It's still not great. Anyway, listen, that was my complaint about MLS. I'm actually really excited for the season. We're actually scheduling to go out to Chicago. We're going to be out in Chicago for the first match of NYCFC season versus Chicago Fire.
Yeah.
And trying to con my family into letting me stay with them.
No, it's not a con.
It's not working. It's not working very well.
Just a request.
They're not listening. Well, anyway, it's a request. I think we get one night with the family. So whatever, we're going to do some Airbnb stuff, but whatever. It's going to be exciting. We're going to film some stuff while we're out there. When we come back, we'll have Kirby get on mic.
Kirby
on the
news.
The Kirby news. And we're going to go through all that stuff. Real quick, short segment. And on this break, we have Greg Orlandini of Philadelphia. He's there with CBS Radio. He's talking about the Philly Union. Absolutely awesome, guys. You got to check him out. And while you're at it, check out the Union Hulk. Really funny on Twitter.
Oh, he's great.
Who put us in contact with him and would not break character the entire time. I absolutely love Union Hulk. So the Union have had a very tough past few weeks. Let's hear what Greg Orlandini has to say. And when we come back, we'll give you his Twitter handle because I don't have it in front of me. So listen up to this, and we'll be right back after this.
I'm KYW's Greg Orlandini from the KYW Philly Soccer Show. Another year without the playoffs for the Philadelphia Union. Another offseason of roster turnover. But there is hope. Ernie Stewart, a bona fide soccer man, is at the helm with Nick Sakevich finally banished. He has his work cut out for him, though, as the team has holes at nearly every position. As Andre Blake will be the man in the net in the 2016 season.
And that was Greg Orlandini. Guys, you can check him out again at KYW Philly, CBS Philly. .com/soccer cbsphilly.com/soccer. Really funny, you know, really insightful, I should say, more than funny, but again, real Union fan. Not a lot of those. One of our favorite segments, if you're myself or Christian, and obviously if you're Kirby, is getting Kirby on that third mic. Kirby,
what's up?
Welcome, yeah, Kirby. He's here, and you're gonna give us a rundown on some of the news.
So some of the biggest news this week: Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid have been handed a transfer ban just as Barcelona is getting off a transfer ban themselves. Said over FIFA's disciplinary committee, said the two clubs violated several provisions concerning the international transfer and first registration of players under 18 years of age. So they're basically trafficking minors.
Yeah, I mean, you know, come on, it's soccer. This isn't a coal mine.
Yeah, if you're trafficking children, you know, across the world, yeah, you deserve a little slap on the wrist. I
don't think so. I think this is soccer. I think the parents are okay with it. You know, I don't see. It's not like they're coming in and grabbing these kids in the middle of the night.
We don't know. We don't know.
I mean, it could be allegedly.
Yeah. I don't know.
It sounds like something Barcelona would do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Arda Turan sounds like he would do that.
their recruiting practices. I don't know how they get their players, but
I will say. I mean, look, I don't think at the end of the day this is that big of a deal. I think if the parents have agreed to let these kids go play at Atletico Madrid, and you know, if the one team that doesn't need this is Atletico Madrid, they're just barely staying in the top three. Mm-hmm. Or as far as, you know, competition.
They're first, aren't they first?
No, but I mean, as far as like competing with Real Madrid and Barca. So, you know, come on, let them live, you know?
Yeah, this is strange because I don't really know the rules, but I especially when it comes to recruiting very, very young talent. I don't know what.
I think it's 17, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, you can't go, but you can't try
to. You can't, like, quote unquote, buy a player. You can't bring them into your academy unless they're local.
Okay.
So you can't go internationally. Like that kid, from Dallas, Letterman, he was at Barcelona, and now he had to go into American residency, like the men's national team residency, because they wouldn't let him train. But, you know, Barcelona had that transfer ban, and the moment it was lifted, I think they registered over 70 players.
And youth players especially.
Yeah. I mean, the moment they were like, all right, you're good. He's like, okay, here's a list of players. Like, where were they? Where were they just before that? What were you guys doing for a year?
Yeah.
They were like, oh, they're just, you know, it's like a bunch of like the inspectors come and it's like a bunch of youth players, three of them in a trench coat. Everything's fine. This is Bob Smith. Everything's okay.
This could potentially be, I mean, for a team, you know, huge clubs like these, Real and Atletico, I mean, this can...
Yeah, Real doesn't have a youth system. That's all they do is
drugs. Which is what seemed really weird to me. Like, why is Real getting hit with this ban over youth players when no player in their entire academy has a chance of making it to the first team?
Yeah. They're like, what? We're all here just for the name on the resume. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, we have a great center mid in the academy, Pogba.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know exactly what how it's going to affect them, but a lot of people are just saying that it's going to, especially these next few months, they have a new manager. Yeah. He wants to make a lot of changes.
Yeah.
And he's stifled. He really can't do anything.
Yeah.
Formerly the youth team coach, so he may be wanting to bring some of these guys up that are now in question.
Yeah.
So
maybe they have to stick with the players they have. So let's see what that Real Madrid looks like as they play for the Segunda division.
Ooh.
What's the next topic?
So sticking with Spain, Neymar has been ordered to court on February 2nd over this continuing saga involving his signing from Santos. What I want to know from you guys is, do you care anymore?
Yes and no. Like, I care to see it more information because it's the greatest soap opera ever played out. And it happened. You know, I mean, come on. Did anyone think that anywhere in soccer, and I hate saying this because I'm really anti-FIFA with all the corruption, but did anyone think any of this stuff really happened on the nose? You know what I mean? Like, you know, like what you heard, the number you heard was really the number. What, the dad got paid a bunch? Of course the dad got paid a bunch. And by the way, if my kid is getting looked at by Barcelona, I'm like, hey, I better see a nice car.
Send a little bit my way.
How about daddy gets a little bit of a consulting fee? Because if not, this kid's going around Madrid,
It's sort of, and I think in soccer, it's a little bit more widely accepted as opposed to like the NCAA where like you can't have boosters. You can't influence a player with money in any way whatsoever. And you know, the NCAA is like staunch on that. And everybody sort of accepts it. Like you can't, amateur athletes, they cannot get paid or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in, you know, with FIFA, with soccer, it's like.
With world football, it's like, well,
it's like, yeah, just hook me up. Grease my pockets a little
bit. Like, of course you're getting in trouble. You did it in the open. You know, you gotta hide it. That's the problem. Yeah. Hide it.
And the fact that Real Madrid is involved in this, I have to wonder if it all came down to a fax. Yeah. It had to.
The fax went to the wrong number and they're like, you send it to FIFA? You send it to Loretta Lynch herself? Yeah.
At the final scene of FIFA when like the movie is over.
Yeah.
The one that's not United Passions.
Yeah. Exactly.
The good one.
The real one.
The real movie that's like produced by Ridley Scott. Like the great
seven parter.
The great film.
Directed by Michael Bay.
Francis Ford Coppola is involved somehow.
Scorsese. The final scene will be just panning in and it's just a fax machine. Like that's jammed and not
it's
receiving. Not jammed.
It's Kaiser Soze's face.
It is going to be beautiful.
I can't wait.
It all connects back to the damn fax machine.
And Sepp Blatter walks away with a limp and all of a sudden he's walking perfectly. He takes the mask off and it's somebody, oh my God, it'd be perfect.
And then he turns into Kevin Spacey and starts talking to the camera.
Gets in a Jaguar.
Yeah. Well, we're covering a lot of his IMDb page.
Everything
right
he's
now.
At.
Exactly. Next bit. Alexis, have you heard of the Aaron Ramsey curse?
Oh, have I? I'm definitely scared.
Christian, have you heard of the Aaron Ramsey curse?
I just this week is when I first heard about it.
When I sent you the email?
When I heard about it like 2 years ago, it was the Whitney Houston one.
Yeah.
That's the
congratulations,
one that really...
Whitney Houston, on 5 years drug-free.
Yeah. Come on, she's from North, dog. That hurts. But really, I mean, this is probably the longest. I mean,
am I wrong?
Longest stretch.
I mean, it's facts. It's facts.
Yeah.
Speaking of FAX, hashtag FAX.
Exactly.
So those of you who don't know, the Aaron Ramsey curse basically says whenever he scores, someone famous dies. In May of 2011, Osama bin Laden. October of 2011, Muammar Gaddafi. Whitney Houston in February. Most recently, he scored in the FA Cup against Sunderland. David Bowie died. He scored against Liverpool. In the league, and then Alan Rickman died. So go back to taking away the bad people, please, Aaron.
Yeah.
Do you think people were more upset with with the David Bowie death or Bin Laden at Aaron Ramsey?
Obviously, Bowie. I mean, look, I don't know anything about Bowie.
Are you saying do what I prefer, Bin Laden dead or Bowie dead?
I worded that very poorly.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
I was gonna say, are you more mad
at
Aaron Ramsey?
You worded it very suspiciously.
Don't put this on the internet, guys. Please.
See some, say some. Hear some, say some.
I was wondering, are you more mad at
Is your name really Christian?
Yeah. What a name to pick.
It's like
for a sleeper cell. God. My name is Christian, not Jew, Polanco.
Guys, my cover's blown.
This explains the skin tone, though.
Cooligans calling each other terrorists since 2016.
Oh my goodness. I'm a big supporter of America. Let's go America. Yeah,
big supporter.
USA, big USA.
I mean, he did want Jordan Morris in the MLS, so maybe he's not a terrorist.
Exactly.
Anything else?
No, that was just my way of saying rest in peace, David Bowie and Alan Rickman.
R.I.P.
Yep.
Alan Rickman in Dogma, one of my favorite movies.
Great movie.
Severus Snape, huge part of my childhood.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't know what that is.
Harry Potter.
Never saw it, never read it.
Oh my... Star Wars and Harry Potter, man?
Yeah, I kind of stay away from all of them.
We're going to need to have just like a movie night, okay?
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, that would be a long movie night.
Yeah. It would be.
14 hours.
Start with Grease, and then I'll make my way to... Right. Just so my wife gets off my back about it.
Well,
Yeah. Are we going to talk about Mascherano going to jail for a year?
Yeah, you want
to
talk about Mascherano? Let's talk about Mascherano.
Yeah, let's do that. That'll be our last topic.
So another tax thing.
Again, Barcelona and their taxes.
We all know.
In some places, they're paying too much. In some areas, they're not paying at all.
When it comes to Spain and all the financial issues that the country is facing, you don't want to have tax issues in that country.
Or you don't want to be seen as like a billionaire who's not paying his taxes. No. I mean, that's
It's not a good time. And the tax rate is stupid high.
Messi have
He had it, yeah.
He had an issue. Yeah. Which I think he's still sort of going through, right?
Yeah, it's not completed.
But Mascherano is...
I thought the worst part was that when the judge levied the fine against Mascherano, Mascherano slid-tackled him with studs up. I thought that was too much.
The retaliation is not called for.
I mean, I think they're going to hold this against you, buddy. Yeah.
He's sending Vermaelen in for him.
Yeah. And Vermaelen pulls his hammy on the way in.
Exactly.
But he is. It's been reported that Mascherano... has been sentenced to a year in prison.
Yeah. Look, he's not going to serve a day. No.
So we know.
Well, I mean, I read in the Daily Mail. So, yeah.
Yeah.
In Spain, if it's a nonviolent crime and you get less than 2 years, if you agree to pay the fine, they usually don't.
Yeah. Said that there's a loophole, and that must be it. Yeah. They've been talking about it. He's not going to serve any jail time, but he still gets. It's still on his record that he was sent to jail for a year.
It definitely affects your Ballon d'Or votes.
Yeah.
That one guy.
The one guy in Argentina voted for him. One guy voted for Mascherano.
Yeah. He lost that vote for 2016. Yeah.
So that's it. Mascherano can't vote.
Nim's going after that guy, studs up.
Yeah. He's sliding in DMs with the studs up. A lot of DM talk here. I mean, this has been a fun week.
I feel kind of left out. I'm the only one who didn't get a rant.
Do you want, when we shut the mics off, you want to?
All right.
You'll rant about me not having seen any of the movies you've ever loved.
Yeah. That's my rant. Alexis, how can you not have seen Star Wars or Harry Potter?
Yeah, I'm sorry. There was like seven Harry Potters, right? I'm not going to. Eight?
Yeah. The last one, which is the seventh book, was split into two movies.
Really? If you put Emma Watson on screen now, I'll watch it. But I mean, I could care less about what happened before. Listen, this has been.
All right.
Wait a
Classics end. Cool against son.
Yeah. This has been one hell.
Now I'm worried about if he does just watch Harry Potter as Emma Watson as a child. I'm like, Alex, I don't want you watching this.
Don't try to throw the soul terrorism thing off on me, okay?
Yeah, I think
we figured you out, Polanco.
I think it's like more okay for me to be like, yeah, I've always been in love with Emma Watson because I'm like the same age as her.
Yeah.
If you watch,
I wouldn't say in love. I just would care more now than when she was a kid. I mean,
yeah, but if one of you guys was like,
yes, I don't care about any of that. Oh, he's got a stick and he flies. Ugh. And all the people playing that stupid game in college, be adults. I bet you.
Hey, one of my best friends from high school plays that.
I bet you. What is it? Quidditch. I bet you.
Alexis.
Jordan Morris plays Quidditch.
Alexis feels like I think Alexis thinks that having an imagination is gay. That's how I.
I don't think it's gay.
That sounds like Jersey to me.
I think it makes you weak, son.
I think it makes you special.
Oh man! Well, this has been a super draft episode of.
I didn't get to do that the first time.
Everyone got a chance to do that. And I love it. And I hope we never lose it. This has been absolutely. Thanks so much for Rapids Rabbi. Thanks so much for Greg Olandini, GFO1025 on Twitter. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Christian.
Thank you for listening, guys. This has been great. Week after week, we're getting way more love and engagement on Twitter, on social media. So thank you for listening and being supportive of the Cooligans.
We love it. Thank you so much. Thank you, Kirby, once again. The fans love you, and so do we.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh,
they can't stop talking about it.
I love you guys so much.
We'll end on that moment. Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for listening.